Pretenders on BBC Radio Sheffield after 12 o'clock in the phone, and we will discuss agony ants and whether you find them any use and whether you've ever been in touch with one. Into the studio has come as my main guest of the day, Britain's happiest man. He's Madhua Malhotra, and he lives and works in Sheffield. He didn't always do. He was from Delhi or near Delhi. He now is the Britain's happiest man. He's grinning away here. Why, Maddy, are you Britain's happiest man?
Right, because I have turned around my life. I've changed it from depression and suicidal in India, and then running away from there, coming to UK and doing pretty good for myself. So I'm happy and thankful for what I have. And also, once a wise man like you said to me, hey, I've never seen a happy young man like you. Since then, I've started calling myself Britain's happiest young man.
Okay, Britain's happiest young man. I'm Britain's happiest middle-aged man then, in that case. And we're going to be talking about your life and ties. On this interview, I go back to a moment of change. The moment of change for you would be leaving India to come over here.
Yes, absolutely. It was pretty difficult. I have pressure from everywhere. I was poor at academics, and I had pressure from parents, relatives, and of course the competition in the corporate world. So I was depressed and I was hopeless. And then I decided, okay, I'm not going to do anything else. I need to move to a developed country where I have more freedom, more opportunities, and to live a better quality of life. And then I decided to go as a student.
How did you manage to come to that decision?
It was something within me which was like, no, I can't accept this life. So I had to change my life. So the best way was to move away from what I was, having the depression and problems from.
So what was wrong with it then, Maddy? What was wrong with your life in India?
Right, because I was poor at academics and wasn't pretty good at anything else. I would say I was average, which is why I had pressure from everywhere and I was going nowhere. So I was hopeless in my mind. I felt like a failure. So at time, I was suicidal, but then I thought, no, I can't accept it. I can't accept the life of mediocrity.
What did your family and friends think about your decision to come over here?
They weren't positive about it. They thought I would return back as a failure because I was good for nothing.
How did you go about coming here? What's the pattern?
Right. I left whatever I was doing. I was doing a basic job, so I left it. Went to the British Council in Delhi, asked for few courses, found the cheapest course to come over, and then things start rolling on from there on.
The cheapest course was in Leicester?
Nottingham.
In Nottingham?
Yes. I came to a college for a diploma in customer service management in Nottingham.
And was it one of these deals where you were going to come and go back as a student then, or what?
In the embassy in India, you have to tell the immigration officer you will come back after doing the course.
So yeah. You came across. How did you find things when you got here?
Pretty good, as I thought it would be. Initially, there was a struggle because English was my third language. And I struggled with that, was embarrassed at many times as well. And it was a big, big technical shock and whatever you can call the Western world and difference between the East and the West. So it was quite a big gap.
What was the shock that got you most? What shocked you most? What gapped most?
I would say everything from lifestyle here, which I wasn't used to, and all the gadgets and everything, because I lived a pretty basic life in India, and it was just a different world for me. It's like a new planet.
You finished the course. What happened next?
I was working as a dishwasher, which wasn't acceptable to me, and my self-esteem was going low. So I decided, okay, I should study IT. It has a lot of money. So I moved to London for a few months, lived again a very basic and, I would say, a bad life in London as well, and studied IT for a few months.
Mm-hmm. And then?
And then I got a job with BT in Sheffield, where I worked as an IT analyst for 4.5 years.
What was it like? What was Sheffield like? Was that another down moment for you when you came to Sheffield?
No, it was pretty good. And because I had a high-paying job now, I was really happy within me. I felt like an achiever. And Sheffield is a very, very nice city. I really love it.
So what do the people back home think now?
Well, of course, they're proud of me now.
Right.
Yes, he's a self-made man now.
He's the happiest man in Britain, he says. More of him after this. Daniel Bedingfield, If You're Not The One. We're on BBC Radio Sheffield, halfway through a conversation with Madhua Malhotra, Maddy, who's my friend of the day, talking about being Britain's happiest man. Him, not me, and his own description of himself, not of me. He's come over here, he's done a course in Leicester, he's washed things, he's done a course in London, and he's come to Sheffield on a big salary, in relative terms anyway, which he did for 4.5 years working for BT in Sheffield.
Yes.
And was that all right?
It was pretty good, yes. It was new learning for me. It was a completely different feel. I wasn't from IT. And it was great working for British Telecoms and with great people here in Sheffield.
So why did you give it up?
Because somewhere inside, I wasn't fulfilled. When I walked to work every morning, I thought I wasn't fulfilled. I was empty within. So I started looking for personal development courses for myself, read books, and it literally changed my life. I applied on myself. It literally changed my life. And then I realized in the 21st century, most of us are living lives like this. We have more negative emotions. We have low self-esteem and we're not going anywhere. It's more mediocrity than success and happiness. So I thought, okay, let me be someone who could support people to increase happiness, wealth and health in people's life. So I started doing courses like life coaching, hypnotherapy. I studied psychology at University of Oxford and I did many courses like this. And then finally I decided to quit IT.
So you went to somebody in BT and said, I'm leaving?
Yes.
And what did they say to you?
Well, it was fine. I mean, they wanted me on, and IT was paying me really well, but it wasn't giving me fulfillment or happiness, so I thought I should work for my passion.
But did they think you were a bit crackpot going for a personal development and all this stuff?
Yeah, I had names like that. They kept a few names like that, like mentalistic or mad, things like this, because I was they thought I was living on another planet and I was always happy and, you know, always roaming around.
So how did Mad Maddie sort himself out in order to earn a living at doing this?
Well, I coach people one-to-one for success. And then I have a book as well and a home study course, which is on its way. So, and also done some corporate workshops and preparing my own seminars.
And are you now happy? Are you now fulfilled? Is your self-esteem high now?
Very, yeah. I would say everything. I feel happiness and peace of mind, and I feel gratitude every single day, sometimes many times a day, because I am fulfilled within without what I'm doing.
It sounds a bit like a religious conversion. Is that what's happened? Have you found God or something? Or?
No. I was brought up in a religious environment, but I'm not religious anymore. But I would say connecting to your inner self or what you think is real peace of mind when you are content within you. That's what I've found.
Would you explain what the inner self is, Maddie?
Inner self is there is no definition. Few people have different definitions. Mm. But inner self is when you connect to yourself, when you connect to your heart and see what your heart desires, when your heart within is joyful and grateful. And I connect to it and I get intuition sometimes what I should do, how I should go further.
And do I do that by some kind of meditation or what? People, get in touch with my inner self, and another Ronin here somewhere, or... is that what it is? Is my soul, is it? Or, I'm only asking, I don't know.
You can do it through meditation. You can do it just by being happy and listening to yourself, being quiet, relaxing, meditating, and then listening to yourself, what does your heart really say? Because most of us don't give us time to ourselves to unwind and listen to ourselves.
You gave us three pieces of advice on your notes for this interview, which we will share with listeners, if we may. The question is this. We'd ask you this question. What would you tell someone going through something similar? And you came up with three answers. Past does not equal future.
Yes, that's very true. People think if they have been failure in the past, or they have been labelled as failure or mediocre or anything else like this, then their future is going to be bad or average. That's not true. Past does not equal to future, and we can create the life of our dreams.
The second one was, no one will come to your rescue.
Yes, that's true. I believe some people wait that right time will come, or God will come to rescue or something like this. But I don't think anyone will come to rescue. If we want a better life, we have to take responsibility, take action to make it better.
Success starts within, is what you added.
That's
that
true, yes.
And the third one was, focus on what you want, not on what you don't want.
Yes, that's one of the biggest problem I've found working in personal development, and I was the same. People focus on what they don't want. They blame, they moan, they say every negative thing about them, and keep thinking of their problems rather than focusing on solutions and how to resolve the problems. So once there is a focus shift, people will look for problems and resolve it, and this is how you get further in life. Worrying, doubt, fears have never done any good to anyone.
Thank you, and thanks for the advice. Now then, Maddie, what are you going to do next? Because you're a single bloke living in Britain in the early days of your happy life. What happens to you next?
Right.
I should give you some advice. Your past doesn't equal your future. No one will come to your rescue, and you've got to focus on not what you don't what. On what you want, not what you don't want.
That's true, yeah. And the main thing to remember is...
Which you I'm asking, though.
Okay, sorry.
What will happen next to you?
Right, next to me, I am on my journey to success and making difference to as many people as I can all over the world. My book is out tomorrow, which will be available for download from my website. It's www.forbetterment.com. That's forbetterment.com. And the listeners can download it for free tomorrow afternoon.
Right. So the past doesn't equal your future. No one will come to your rescue. Focus on what you want. You want to publish your book? You want to become very rich?
Yes, that would be part of when I add more value, I get back more value. So, yes.
And do you think you will get rich from free books on the net and advice, free advice on the radio, which is
yes, that would indirectly do my selling and one-to-one thing.
So you want to be prosperous and rich, and you want to remain happy.
Yes.
Does the happiness for the rest of, I'm kind of edging my way towards your personal life. What about your love life and things?
Yes, I am. I'm in a process to attract my soulmate, and probably she will be in my life very soon.
Will she? Are you kind of forecasting that as a mystical person, or is she on the plane now, or is she waiting for you?
She will be on the plane very soon.
So how will you go about your love life then? Because the past doesn't equal the future. That's You've true. Not had that very successful in the past. No one will come to your rescue. I'm not going to help by putting it together. And you've got to focus on what you want.
Yes,
how are
absolutely.
You going to use these technologies to make sure your love life works
well,
out?
Yeah, past does not equal the future, which means I will have a better soulmate because I'm attracting her in my life. I'm positive about it. No one is coming for rescue. I approached. We get along very well. We are best friends, so probably we'll be together. And yes, I am focusing on what I want, and I'm even reading books about it, how to have a better life, love life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maddie, thanks so much for coming in. I hope you're even happier next time we meet.
Thanks for the opportunity, and I wish all the listeners a happier and successful life.
Thank you very much indeed. Madhua Malhotra, my guest of the day, Maddie, today. In a few moments, phone in opens for your calls.